I tell you what, that said it all right there. Praise God. Praise God. We're in the third in a series called Divine Authority. I want to talk about God's final authority today, and we'll look at three scriptures talking about the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. In Titus 2:15, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. 1853, David Livingston began his trek across Africa. He carried with him 73 books, weighed 180 pounds. Didn't take long. After 300 miles, he had thrown away all the books and only had one left. It was the Bible. It's the number one bestseller every year, has been since they started taking polls or whatever. Back in 9/11, whenever 9/11 took place, Bible sales increased 22%. People were searching for answers, trying to find, they were frightened, looking for something to hang on to. Some don't have this book. Did you know this? Out of 7,400 languages in the world, 3,200 don't have the Bible, the full Bible translated in their language. 500 to 600 have no translation, and that represents about 1.5 billion people. Some people don't have it. Some people don't read it. I remember the old story, the little boy got a brand new watch, and he was so proud of his watch, and he was walking around showing people, and the man saw him and said, "Son, you got a new watch there?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Does it tell time?" He said, "No, sir, you got to look at it. It won't tell you. You got to look at it." Some don't understand. They read it, but they don't understand it. Mark Twain said, a lot of people are bothered by the things in the Bible they don't understand. He said, "I'm bothered by the things I do understand." That's the truth. Some don't understand it. Some misuse it. Gaylord Pamirami, who's now the General Secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe, he was given a Bible. They were giving Bibles to people that were being sentenced to go to prison, and they were giving them a Bible. And he said, "I don't need it. I'll just use it to roll cigarettes with." They said, "Well, please read it before you roll the cigarette. Read each page that you're going to roll up." He said, "I smoked Matthew, I smoked Mark, I smoked Luke. By the time I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke anymore." And now he's an evangelist for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pandora, everybody pretty much knows what Pandora is. It's a way you can get music that you like. If you like a certain style of music, a certain group, you can get that, and it kind of plays that style or that group over and over again. You can hear that, and you can skip over things that you don't want to hear a lot of times. A lot of people look at the Word of God like that. They like when it talks about heaven, don't want to talk about hell. They like when it talks about grace, don't like when it talks about judgment. They like when Jesus is giving them beatitudes, but they don't like when Jesus is telling the Syrophoenician woman, calling her a dog, or the religious Pharisees, a bunch of brood of vipers. So we kind of pick and choose what we like. Years ago I read, some don't believe it, like Madonna. She wanted her daughter to grow up reading the Bible instead of watching the poison of TV. And she said, "I want her to read the Bible, but I'll explain to her that these are just stories that people made up to teach people. It's not the rule." Well, there's not a whole lot of purpose in reading it if you're going to look at it like that. I want to talk today about the authority of God's Word. The preservation of God's Word, its survival. For 2,600 years, people have come against this Bible, against the book. King Manasseh did all he could to destroy all the copies of the law, and he thought he had it destroyed, but there was one copy that was still left behind the temple walls, and his grandson Josiah, 20 years later, when it came out, and they took the Word of God, and it started a revival. In the Middle Ages, there was clergy that was even against the Word of God. It was on the banned book list. But men like John Tyndale, John Wycliffe, John Huss, they preserved it and they gave their life for it. Voltaire was a French atheist, and he was an infidel. He died in 1778, and he made this statement before he died. Within 100 years from this time, Christianity will be swept from existence and passed into history, and the only Bibles left would be in museums. Well, 50 years after his death, they were using his house to print Bibles. It's authenticity. It's withstood attacks from the scientific community. A lot of times science says, I don't think the Bible lines up, but the Bible does always line up if science needs to recorrect itself. They used to say before they invented the telescope in the 17th century, they said, Ptolemy said there was 1,056 stars in the sky. Kepler said there was 1,055. Others had something similar. Jeremiah 33:22 said, as the host or the stars of heaven can't be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so I'll multiply the seed of David my servant. Now with technology and satellites and telescopes today, they say that there's probably over 1 billion stars just in the Milky Way galaxy. And if galaxies, the Milky Way is just one of billions of galaxies. So you can't count it. It's accuracy. Most scientists, and one of the things that's the most amazing thing about the Word of God to me is the prophecy in it. How God gives us the news before it happens in great detail. Just a few things. Genesis 3:15, he said there would be a Messiah coming that was born of a woman. Isaiah 7:14, he said he'd be born of a virgin. Micah 5:2 said he'd be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 62:11 talked about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Psalm 41:9 said he'd be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. Psalm 22 talked about all his physical sufferings, his death on the cross, and they would cast lots for his robe. Psalm 16 talked about the resurrection on the third day, and Psalm 8 and Psalm 110 talked about his ascension into heaven. God always gives us the news before it happens. And the odds of that just by coincidence are staggering. It's the claims of the Bible. The Bible's infallible. That means it's entirely without mistakes, the original manuscripts that God gave us. It's inerrant in all its parts. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is flawless. There are 85, in a book called Reforming Fundamentalism, there is an evangelical university, Bible college, that says 85% of the students do not believe in the inerrancy of the Scriptures. Wow, what are we turning out? They ask a craftsman that was a great woodworker, ask him, what's the number one tool in all of your tools? They thought he'd say a certain saw or a drill or something like that. He said, the most important tool I've got is a square. Because if things aren't square, nothing fits together flush and joins up right. There was a man that went on a vacation to Italy, and he took a picture of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And they said that tower at one time was leaning 5.5 degrees. In other words, 180 feet tall, and it was leaning. If you were to drop a plumb line from the one side, it would be about 5 feet from the bottom. That's how far it was leaning over. Well, he had a picture of that from his vacation. He had it in his office, and the lady that came to clean the office, every time she'd clean, she'd twist the picture so the tower would be standing straight. He finally said, what are you doing? She said, I'm trying to make the picture straight, the tower. He said, that tower leans. Leave the picture like it is. And that's the way a lot of people are with the Word of God. They want to try to correct it to line up with the way they think is straight. We got to line up with what it says is straight, and then you'll be okay. Let's look at the authority of God's Word, the authority of the Bible. That means Scripture is God speaking to us. It has His authority behind it. Just like there's a stop sign out there, if you go to the stop sign, you don't have to obey the stop sign. You can run right through it. It might kill yourself or whatever, and you'll suffer the consequences, or a policeman might see you and write you a ticket or whatever. But that has the authority of our government behind that stop sign. Why do you believe, or why do I believe the Word of God has the authority of God behind it? One of the things is the tremendous unity in the Word of God. This book was written by 40 different men on three continents over about 1,500 years, and it all joins together. It's not contradicting itself. It's not, you can't get 40 people to look at an event and all come up with the same thing they're looking at. And this was done over a 1,600 year period. Somebody said it this way: men don't reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. They reject it because it contradicts them. And that's absolutely the truth. Another thing, Jesus testified to the authority of the Scriptures. Look at Matthew 5:18 and Luke 16:17. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Luke says, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. So Jesus testified of its authority. Let me tell you a little something about the attacks, not the authority of the Bible, but the attacks on the Bible. In the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent comes up and makes this one statement that he's been making to mankind forever. Has God really said? He's questioning what God told Adam and Eve to do, what they could do, what they couldn't do. And the first temptation, and the temptation that's still fresh today, is, did God really say that, or did God really mean that? And people are still battling that today. Has God said it, or does he really mean it? You hear people say things like that. Does that apply today? Well, this is what the Bible means to me. Like, you can let it mean what it wants to you, and I'm going to let it mean this to me. We've got to where we just take God's word and we can take it or leave it. It doesn't apply. It does apply. It says this. It means something different. We don't take it literally. We don't think all of it's inspired. We think some of it's got errors in it. It's all of that. It's under attack constantly. Let's talk about acting on the authority of God's word. First of all, we need to read the word. When I was coming up, there was three R's everybody had to learn in school. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Those were the three R's. Some don't read the Bible because it's got some words in it they can't pronounce. I can tell you that's the truth. There's a lot of names in there I can't pronounce. There's a lot of it, but we've got to read it. We got to read all through our life. You got to read directions. You got to read labels. You got to read signs. You got to read the mail. You got to read contracts. There's a place for studying this book. There's a place for meditating on this book. There's a place for sharing this book. There's a place for teaching and preaching this book, but there's a place for reading the book, just reading this book. Listen to what one guy said. It's one thing to say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover, but they don't even know what's between the covers. So you got to know what's in the book. G. Campbell Morgan, one of the great expositors in church history, he said before he taught on a book of the Bible, he would read that book at least 50 times before he began to dig into it, to teach it, and expound upon it. I've always told people this. You know, a lot of us, we read through the Bible each year, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you had 30 days, and you say, I'm going to take 30 days, and I'm going to read the New Testament, that's good. But if you would take 30 days and just read one little book over and over and over and over for 30 days, you'd have that the rest of your life lodged in your heart. Where if you read 30 days as quick as you can, you won't even remember what you've read. We need to read it, but we need to read it with a purpose. A lot of us read the Bible. If you read the newspaper the way people read the Bible, you would never get anything out of it. We just take a sentence here, a sentence here, and a sentence here. That's the way we do with the Bible. We just take a verse here, a verse there, out of context, don't even know what it meant or what it was trying to say. If you were looking for a piece of property, and you're looking for a lakefront property, and you look there and it said, here's a beautiful 3 acres on a beautiful 200-acre lake for such an amount of money, and you told your spouse, let's go look at this. This is sounds like exactly what we want. But when you got there, you realized that the lake was, it was 200 acres, but it was only a foot deep. And it dried up most of the year, and that's about as deep as it ever got. It ain't worth anything. When you read the Bible, you get the width and the scope. When you study the Bible, you get the depth of what it says. So you've got to have both of them. They're both very important. Let's talk about studying the Word of God. There's a difference between knowing about something and knowing something. Tony used to say when he was in school, his professor or somebody came up to him and said, "Did you understand what the class was, what the lesson was?" He said, "I think I understand it, but I don't think I could explain it to anybody." He said, "Professor said, if you can't explain it to somebody, then you don't understand it. If we don't know what we're talking about, we don't have a whole lot to go by." So we don't want to just know what's in the Bible. We need to understand what it says, because it's the Word of God. Here's some things you've got to be able to do if you're going to understand the Word of God and go any deeper. You've got to be a believer. You know, the Bible says the natural man doesn't understand or receive the things of God. He can understand, he can read sentences and stuff like that, but it doesn't impact him like a believer. Which state is the show me state?
Missouri.
Where did we come up with that? Here's where this come up, that phrase come up from. Congressman Willard Van Diver from 1897 to 1903, he was talking in front of the Congress. He was, I guess, a Republican because he was talking about against the Democrats. But here's what he said. "I came from a state that raises corn, cotton, and cockleburs. And Democrats with frothy eloquence neither convince me or satisfies me. I'm from Missouri. You got to show me." And that's why they became known as the show me state. Some people say this, "Well, if God will show me, I'll believe it." God says, "No, you believe it, I'll show you." We get it backwards a lot of times. You've got to be a believer, or this the Word's not going to mean anything to you. Here's another thing: if you're going to be a studier of the Word, you've got to be diligent. Now, some of the Bible is simple. It says for a baby can understand it, digest it pretty much. The wayfaring man can't even go wrong. It's very simple, where God can explain things very simply. But some of the Word of God is like meat, strong meat, that it's hard to digest if you don't have some depth to you. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Whenever I got saved in 1975, the family started singing about 75, 76. And I decided I was going to go along with them, but I didn't really want to sing. So I decided I was going to learn how to play the guitar. And I put in just enough effort to just do a little hit and miss from time to time. Not really any good. And I wish many times, I wish I had applied myself. Then I could have played it the rest of my life. Instead of just picking at it a little bit. Mama, when she started off as a child, she practiced it, I think, for 12 years. And she's been playing by ear most of the time. But now, because she put in the effort, now we can enjoy it. I've enjoyed it my whole 69 years of life. So that's just the way it is. If you apply yourself. Let me say this to you. Say you were going fishing, and you're going to hire a fishing guide, and the guy has an ad in the paper that says he's been guiding for 30 years. You say, "That's the one I want. He's been doing it that long. He knows what he's doing." And you go talk to him, and he's going to take you out fishing. I don't even have a clue what they charge for what kind of fishing. They just say they're going to charge you $1,000 to guide you. And he says, "I'll take you out, and I think you'll have some success. I've been doing this for 30 years. He said, "But there's a couple of things I'm going to have to tell you about I'm not real good at." He said, "Okay." And you say, "What?" He said, "Well, I never have learned how to tie a knot. So you're going to have to tie the bait on yourself, or your hook on, because I don't really know how to do that. And I just still don't feel good about handling the bait or touching the fish. So when they come up, you're going to have to get them off the hook, and you're going to have to take care of it. And I've never been good at backing my boat. So when you come here, you back it on down there in the water for me." And you say, "Well, where are we going fishing?" He said, "I don't know, wherever you want to go." You say, "Man, I ain't going to hang around something like that and pay money." There's a lot of people for 30 years been Christian, but they can't tell you if John's in the New Testament, the Old Testament. They can't tell you this, can't tell you that. They haven't been diligent. They haven't put forth an effort to understand it. You've got to be diligent. You've got to desire it. Not only put in the work, but you have a desire for it. Here's what 1 Peter 2:2 says. "As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow by it." Job 23:12 says, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You know, everybody that's had a baby, you know when that baby gets ready to eat, he's going to let everybody know. He's not going to say, "I'll wait till everybody gets through watching TV or get through eating or sleeps or whatever. He said, no, I'm hungry. I want some food. And I'll tell you about it. Well, that's the way it is. You've got to hunger and thirst, and God will open up the things to you. You got to be humble. James says in James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word. This book is a manual for our lives. One guy said, it'll warm you if you're cold. It'll wake you if you're asleep. It'll warn you if you're backslid. It'll wash you if you're defiled. It'll whip you if you're disobedient. It'll witness to you if you're doubtful. It'll win you if you're unsaved. It'll counsel you if you're discouraged. It'll comfort you if you're depressed. So we need to not only read it, we need to study it. Here's another thing we need to do. We need to remember it. I've always said this many times, but I'll say it again. As Christians, here's our biggest problem. We forget things we need to remember, and we remember things we need to forget. That's one of the biggest issues we have a lot of time. Brother Kerry Peepy, he memorizes the Word of God. He doesn't just do that by happenstance or by accident. Remember it. You need to be able to remember it so you can recall it. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's what Solomon said at the end of Ecclesiastes. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's what the old thief on the cross said. Remember Lot's wife. What Jesus said in three words. We've got to remember it. The only thing you'll usually remember in life is something that's so dramatic you can't forget it. In other words, you've said this before. I'll remember that the rest of my life, or I'll never forget that as long as I live, or something like that, because it was so dramatic, it's etched in your mind. The other way you're going to remember things is by repetition, over and over and over again, precept upon precept, line upon line. You stay with it, it'll stay with you. Lauren used to love when she was growing up, she'd be singing a song in the house, and then she'd come by later, and I'd be singing that song. And then she'd laugh, I got that in your head, didn't I? I said, yes, you did. So a lot of times you've got to hear it over and over again to remember it. Here's the other thing. Speaking the Word of God. There's an old saying said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not a true statement, is it? Words can hurt you. There's power in words. We want to hear the words. Words can be good or they can be evil. We want to hear a baby's first word. We want to hear a dying man's last word. We want to hear what's uttered from the judge. Whatever comes out of his mouth can condemn you to a life in jail or can set you free for the rest of your life. A teacher can inspire you, can encourage you, can educate you, challenge you. Words can be destructive, like gossip, ridicule, criticism. Words can bring healing, like comfort and encouragement. If our words have that much power, can you imagine when you're speaking the Word of Almighty God? These words, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Now, here's five things we need to speak in the authority of God's Word, if you're going to speak His Word. Speak the Word to sinners. We're quick to give our opinion, what we think, or what we would like to say to people. Give them the Word of God. My daughter wrote me a text yesterday, said, Everett, my grandson, they took him to get a haircut yesterday. And she said, Dad, he talked to the barber or whatever and said, are you a Christian? And the barber stammered around a little bit and finally just said, are you a Christian? He said, well, yes, but I haven't been baptized yet. That's what Everett told him. I said, well, you don't have to be baptized to be a Christian, Lauren. You got to make sure you understand that. We're not Church of Christ. Anyway, he was not ashamed to speak the Word and ask somebody if they were a Christian. Through your words, people will spend eternity possibly in heaven because you had the courage to obey God and give somebody the Word of God. Somebody's going to spend an eternity in the presence of God because of the Word to sinners. Speak the Word to situations. You need to be able to speak the Word to whatever the situation you're in. Think about this. Jesus spoke to the wind. He spoke to waves. He spoke to fig trees. He spoke to dead people. Sometimes you have to speak God's word over your situation, and there's power in that. You need to speak the words to yourself. The greatest preaching you should ever be to be should be to yourself. Here's somebody said this, or I think it was quoted, or maybe Elon might have said it, or somebody this morning. David said this, or the psalmist said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" We need to talk to ourselves. Why are you feeling like this? Why are you afraid? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? We need to speak God's word to ourselves. David said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who've encamped themselves against me round about. We have to not only speak to sinners, speak to situation, we got to speak to ourselves. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. My father, we used to always tease him because he always talked to himself. You come in there and he'd be saying, "Who is he talking to?" And he's talking to himself. And when you'd come in and catch him, you'd listen to him a while, and then you'd say, "Who are you talking to?" He'd laugh. He said, "I'm talking to myself. There's nobody else in here intelligent enough to talk with me." So anyway, we need to talk to ourselves, talk the word of God to ourselves. We need to speak to the enemy. You know, when you've got an enemy in this life, you want to stay away from them, don't you? You don't want to say nothing to them. You want to just go your way, let them go their way. We've talked about the power of the blood today. We've talked the power of his name. We've talked about the power of God's word. You say, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if Satan's going to pay any attention to words you say, but he'll pay attention when you speak the word of God to him. He's got to respond to that. Speak the word to one another. We can tear each other down. We can divide. We can say things to hurt, to harm, to bruise, to maim, to wound. Or you can encourage. You can build up. We talked about it on Wednesday night. How many people have you encouraged and strengthened? You don't have to tell me my outfit looks good or anything like that. But you can remind me, my God never fails me. Speak the word of God to me. There's hope in him. He's faithful. He can do all things. Greater is he that's in you. Whatever it might be, speak the word of God to your brothers and sisters and build them up in our most holy faith. There was a man said this to evangelist Gypsy Smith. "I've gone through this Bible time and time again, and it doesn't mean anything to me." He says, "That's because you've gone through it. It hadn't gone through you yet. And if it'll go through you, it'll change your life." There was a four-year-old that every morning she'd wake up and her father was reading his Bible. And she didn't understand it. And after about a year, she woke up one morning, and there he was reading his devotion. And she said, "Daddy, are you going to ever get through reading that book?" I'll tell you, church, we don't ever get through with this book. This book goes deeper and wider than we can ever imagine. We'll never finish it. We need to go back to the authority of God's word in this day and time. We need to go back to the cross. We need to go back to Pentecost. We need to go back to prayer. We need to go back to fasting. We need to go back to walking in love and things like that. We need to go back to the authority of the word of Almighty God. This church was built with ICF walls. The only way I know how to say it. All I know is it looked like they was putting together tinker toys or something. They had styrofoam blocks, and then eventually they put a rebar and stuff in it, and then they poured that concrete in all of those blocks. So each one of them blocks, I don't know if it was 6, 8 inches, 4 inches, whatever, but it's solid concrete, and it had about 2 inches of styrofoam on either side of it. That's what this church is. So if this place ever has a tornado, this probably be one of the safest places in all of Williston to be, because it'll stand the test of time. This book right here is what's going to stand the test of time. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. I was looking up something the other day, and I found something in a sermon I preached in 1983. That's 43 years ago. And it was called The Diary of a Bible. And it was, and I copied it again, and I didn't come up with it, but here's what it said. This is a diary, the Bible speaking, telling its own story. January was a busy time for me. Most of my family decided to read me through this year. They kept busy for the first 2 weeks. Now I'm forgotten and back on the shelf. February, my owner used me for a few minutes last week. He had an argument and was checking some references to prove he was right in that argument. March, Grandpa came and visited. He kept me on his lap for an hour reading 1 Corinthians 13. April, I had a busy day in April. My owner was appointed a leader of something and used me. I got to go to church for the first time this year. It was Easter Sunday. May, I have a few grass stains on my pages. Had some early spring flowers pressed in me. They did take me to church once to be held up and counted. June, I look like a scrapbook. They've stuffed me full of clippings. One of the girls got married. July, they put me in a suitcase today. I guess we're off on a vacation. I wish I could stay home because I probably stay in this suitcase the whole trip. A lot of things were taken out over and over again, but I've never been taken out. August, my owner used me to look up a couple of references for Sunday school. Had trouble finding me and even had more trouble finding the references. September, back home in my old place, I have a lot of company. Two People magazines and four video games are on top of me. I wish I could be used as much as they are. October, they used me a little bit today. One of them is sick. Right now I'm all shined up and they put me on the center of the coffee table. I think the preacher's coming by this afternoon. November, back in my old place, I sometimes wonder why they bother with me at all. In December, they're getting ready for Christmas. I'll be covered up with wrapping paper and packages. Diary of a Bible, it's kind of humorous in ways, but sad in a lot of ways. That's the Word of God. I'm going to close and say this. We used to sing an old song in the Methodist church. Might have sang it here too. It said, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. This book is what our whole faith is all about. We believe it's God's manual for us. It's God's speaking to us. He'll speak to us in many ways, but He'll speak to you more through this book than any other way, probably. His words are strong. His words are true. They're relevant for today. They're not old-fashioned and outdated and need to be discarded. I want you to stand with me. I want to just have a closing pledge. We have a pledge of allegiance where we give allegiance to the flag or to our country. I want you to grab your Bible and hold it. And let's all, I want you to repeat after me and let's say this pledge to the authority of God's holy word. I pledge allegiance to the Holy Bible. It's the living Word of God. I accept its teachings as the final authority for my faith and practice. I will trust in its truth, wisdom, and guidance. I commit to study it often. I will live by its commandments. I will uphold its message of love, justice, and redemption. I will honor its spiritual authority over my decisions. I will speak its truth with humility and compassion. I will defend its integrity against distortion. And by God's grace, I'll seek to reflect its teaching in my life. And therefore honor Christ in word and deed. This is our hope. This is our guide. This is our connection to Almighty God. So many have taken the Word of God and cast it aside and think it's doesn't apply or change what it means to line up with them. If we ever stray away from the Word of God, there's nothing else to stand for. We have nothing else but sinking sand. I want us to pray today and commit ourselves afresh and anew to the authority of the written Word of God. Read it, study it, remember it, speak it. There's power in His name. There's power in His blood. And there's power in His Word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, once again, we need to be people of the book. Muslims call Christians and Jews people of the book. Lord, we're living in a day where we won't teach it to our kids in school, but we'll let somebody go into prison have it. We won't let us learn and build our life on it. We just give it to people to get them out of the mess they've made in their life. Help us, Lord, to put the Word of God first. May we truly be people of this book. May we walk in it. May our faith grow by it, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by this Word. May Your Word be settled in our hearts and grounded in our steps. God, renew our minds to Your blessed Word, and may we think not as the world thinks, but as our Heavenly Father thinks. God, thank You for Your Word. Your Word still sets us free. We give You praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Having a memorial service at 2:00, if those would like to come.